Hi Diamonds, and welcome to this episode of Diamond Insights with me, your host Naleli Star. So in this episode, I want to share what my experience has been showing up for myself and showing up for the people that I love, and really just breaking down what that looks like and some of the things I think that I've observed since I actually started being intentional. First things first, I think if you've been following my podcast for some time, I think over the last, 18 months, I have either directly or indirectly mentioned that I am learning to become more intentional about the relationships that I maintain. That means also that I am not looking for a very big circle. So I think in my annual update to my closest friends, I was actually telling them, you know what, I think like 2023, I did cut out a lot of people, and not out of spite, no, but just, you know, when you evaluate a relationship and you kind of look at, okay, what am I putting in? What am I getting out? And not only for some of them, I just, you know, like I let them die a natural death. And for some relationships, it was like, okay, maybe I need to downgrade, you know, like I might have put you at maybe like gold level when you're actually supposed to be at bronze, because you're not giving me gold level material. So I think I went through that process a lot, and I was laughing with them. I said, you know what, it's come down to a skeleton. But also one of the things that I experienced is I really started experiencing quality connections, quality relationships, especially with the people that I was intentional about. So one of the things, before I actually dive into today's content, is one of the things I've done is I have a list of people that in a week, I need to make sure I have touched base with these people, whether I'm calling, whether I'm texting, just to say, hi, how are you doing? What's going on? Are you okay? So I have that list. It's not a very long list. But yes, I always want to make sure that I check in. And then there's some people that I know, okay, at least in a month, I should be able to like call once. So like I have those lists because now I know where exactly people stand. I feel like in the past, it was like everybody is just at one level. So even people that were giving me like premium efforts, you know, would get average effort because I was thinly spread out, you know, trying to show up for everybody and anybody that I felt like, okay, was connected to me. And then I thought to myself at some point, you know what, not everybody is like top tier relationship. There are certain people that perhaps I'll talk to, maybe we'll like catch up after a month or after 2 months, and the conversation is good, like we're going to have a steady conversation, like we talk much, you know, sometimes even on a deeper level. And then when we go quiet, it's like it's quiet. And then I realized, you know what, the thing is, I was expecting of those people certain things that I think in the kind of relationship that we're set up, it wasn't structured to produce the kind of output that I was expecting. And you know, even the Bible says, you know, hope what? Hope deferred or hope delayed makes your heart sick. So if you're expecting something and something is not forthcoming, then you begin to feel sick, and issues of resentment and bitterness then pop up. So one of the things that I did whilst I was healing from that is just trying to understand, okay, what kind of relationships do I have? What kind of relationship, what am I getting from these relationships that I have? So for some people, it's just hi, hello. For some people, it's, you know, deep, and maybe a deeper conversation or a meaningful conversation every once in a while. For some people, it's just he, ha, ha, ha from our WhatsApp status. And, you know, there are people that I can actually go to and, you know, figure things out with. There are people that I know that there's one specific person that we don't talk much, no call, no text, but when I do find time, I'm very intentional. And lately, I've actually been thinking, you know, I need to get a day off and go and see this person and just touch base. You know, the year has started. This is like the second month. I haven't yet seen them. And I was just thinking, you know what? I really do make that effort. And that's because that relationship is very important to me and that person is very important to me. But yes, so that's where this is coming from. So One of the things, now we're diving into the actual content for the episode. I'm sorry, I talked a little bit too much. So today I want to talk about what it's been like in reality, showing up for myself, but also showing up for the people that I love. And one of the things that I found, I think, very, very helpful is just having an open mind. So having an open mind and just no judgment zone. You know what I mean? There's a poster, a saying that I saw on Pinterest. And I think it was Facebook. And it said, you know, you can always say it will never be me until God decides it's actually going to be you, plus interest. So the things that you judge that could never be you, I'm going to make you go through that plus interest, worse than what that person went through, so that we see how judgmental you're going to be. So when I'm experiencing something, I think in the past, I would have a narrow focus, like a tunnel focus, where everything is just exactly the way that I have perceived it, and then no other realities. But if you've been doing some work around, you know, consciousness, or, you know, just understanding the metaphysics and understanding just the world, you know, from a larger perspective or from a larger view, you will know that from a similar situation, you can have multiple realities, because people perceive things as they are, not as the reality really is. It's as you are. So from where I'm standing, the cumulative of the experiences and the emotions and the relationships that I have really shape a lot of how I interpret things, of how I see things. And, you know, sometimes our perception is very blurry or it's very biased. So I've gotten to a point where even when I'm talking with a friend about something, I'm not judgmental. I just look at it and I literally see them as a different unit altogether. Like, listen, that's a whole different world happening right there, and separate from mine. So even if we're in the same universe, we're in the same environment, we have certain paths that cross. Really, the way that we are interpreting one situation is different, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they're wrong or that I'm right, or that I'm wrong and they're right. It's different perceptions. So there's no need to judge, and life happens. Life happens. I think a friend of mine was talking about something that they went through, and you know, they told me, you know, I know you're going to think, and they said, no, I actually don't think that. I'm just hearing you out. Like, I'm not thinking anything about what you're telling me. I'm just hearing you. You know, what you went through, what you think about it, why you felt you had to make those decisions. Like, I have no business trying to even invest thoughts into what you went through. You're the one who went through it. You're the one who should be investing thought in this. I'm just holding space for you to be able to, like, express yourself. And hopefully, I find that for myself, as I relate a story, and I think for some of the people that I have told certain things, I'm like, you know, now that I'm actually telling you about this, I am really pissed. You know, I think I've been in situations where I've said that, something like that, where I'm talking about something, and when that thing happened, it was like I was having an out-of-body experience. And then now that I actually have to, like, I'm actually relating it to somebody else, I'm narrating the story to somebody else, and I'm able to see it, like, from an outside perspective, I'm like, no. Sometimes I feel like, no, that wasn't right. Like, that person didn't do me right. Or sometimes I look at it and I'm like, you know what? I think I overreacted there. But yeah, so just holding space and just no judgment anytime that they come forward. But also, is to practice constant forgiveness, especially forgiving oneself. You know, you can't. T.D. Jakes said it best. You can't overcome something that you don't confront, that you don't acknowledge. So you can't forgive if you don't if you don't acknowledge the hate or the pain. Then it becomes absolutely difficult for you to forgive yourself. So I see that sometimes it's not the fact that we don't want to forgive ourselves. Sometimes we just ignore the little things that happen to us and don't find them worthy of forgiving ourselves for. And sometimes I think with other people, we have this thing of, you know, just brushing things aside. I'm not saying go and confront people every day and say you owe me an apology. But for me, I think if somebody owes me an apology, sometimes, especially like for my spouse, I'll just tell them, listen, you owe me an apology. I think the way that you behaved, the way that you spoke to me is unacceptable. But there are also people that have felt in the past, like, you know what, I forgive them. But because they cannot take responsibility for how they hate me, I'm going to have to end the relationship. And I'm not bitter about it. There's no malice there. I just feel like if you caused me pain and you can't acknowledge the fact that your behavior caused me pain, then we have no business relating to each other. And God bless you. I wish you well. But with myself, I find that even sometimes when I just yell at my kids, I feel bad. So especially like these days, you know, I'm gonna have that monologue inside my head where, you know what, you could have reacted better, maybe you should have done A, B, C, D instead of, you know, da 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 da. And already, even if, you know, I'm not bashing myself down, already it does feel a little bit corrective, so to speak. And just by me acknowledging I could have done things differently automatically just says that I didn't behave at my best and I let myself down, and therefore I need to forgive myself. And I'm very, very intentional about saying, you know what, you're learning. The very fact that you can admit that you could have done that better is a stepping stone. So let's learn from that and let's do better next time. I always end the conversation like that. But also there are certain times when, you know, like you're having a conversation with somebody, okay? Again, this is a way that you can show up for yourself, but also show up for your loved ones. And they have different views from you. You hardly ever find me these days in a conversation where I'm trying to convince somebody of a point of view. Rarely, very, very rare. I think that I'm open-minded. I do engage in conversations. But like I said earlier, I just look at people as, okay, this is a completely different person, a completely different experience, and they're allowed to have different opinions or views about something. And in the end, I think just because I go to most conversations with an open mind, I'm able to hear people out without feeling the need that I need to convince them of anything. And it's so refreshing when I get in the presence of people who behave like that. And I think I must have learned this maybe from my boss, because I think he's like that. He'll, you know, he'll hear you out and he'll just say what his view is without really making you feel like, you know, you need to choose a side. It's either your perception or my perception, or your perspective or my perspective. It's like, you know, we have obviously varying views, and that's okay. It's healthy. We can't all be thinking the same thing all the time. But of course, when it does come to decision making, we need to be thinking which view, which perspective is best for the organization, not what is going to soothe somebody's ego. And I think I have carried that on everywhere where I go. Also just with conversations, just, you know, understand what you're trying to get from a conversation. Sometimes I'm a person who people are trying to get into a conversation with, and sometimes it just feels like people are trying to bait you. And I think when the conversation starts from that tone or from that angle, I'm very reserved. You won't find me talking too much into that. Another way is give yourself a clean slate to start over. And listen, today is like we already, I'm recording this and it's like mid-morning, it's almost midday. If I started out the day and maybe at 10 something happened, I don't mind like giving myself a fresh start, a clean slate at 11. Like, I just tell myself, you know what has happened has happened. Let's try to start afresh. Where can we start from? I always do that. And even with other people, I'm doing a program called Changes That Heal. It's under our church. And I was just narrating, you know, to some of my friends, I don't know, colleagues, church mates, group mates. I think group mates is the right term. How there's a point in my life when I was so busy. I think I literally had a handful of relationships that I was managing because I couldn't really spread myself outside of those relationships, and those relationships really were like linked to what I was doing. So sometimes you find people want maybe to come and visit me, sometimes people want to like hang out with me, do something, or maybe there's a function going on and you know you're invited, and sometimes I just say, you know what, I'm unable to make it, but I'm going to send my contribution, or I'm going to send my support to you, and I'm wishing you luck. And the time that, you know, things finally slowed down for me, I finished my MBA, my project was like wrapping up, I had so much free time and I didn't know what to do with myself, you guys. I know, like, it's so weird because I got so used to being busy, you know, I would work, I would attend class in the evening, weekends I was away, you know, I was a busy bee. So to have time, like, so much free time, I think the initial reaction or response to that was, I need to fill up this time, you know, I need to like plan activities, and I tried to reach out to people, and everybody was just, it felt like the whole lot of the people that I knew had moved on. I couldn't even get anybody to go out for lunch with me or a movie with me. And at that point, I think I felt very sad, but also that's how come I learned to just, you know, walk into a restaurant and sit down and just order food and enjoy it by myself. You know, I got to learn, okay, if I need to go out for lunch, I can go out for lunch. I don't need like an entourage or a company or, you know, a colleague to go out for lunch with, because, you know, that's the traditional way of doing things, you know, where you go out for lunch with a friend, with a loved one, and you can have conversation and, you know, laugh and catch up. But at the time when that was not possible, I just thought to myself, you know what, start afresh, you know, start afresh, do things differently. And I think even just with other people, I also realized if I'm going to reconnect to certain people, I'm going to have to start afresh. And also that came with the realization that people had changed, people had grown into different people. So I had to learn. Like, okay, so during the time that I was missing in action, this person went through blah 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 and this is how they have changed, or, you know, life happened and this is where they're at now. So that was very challenging for me, but I gave myself a clean slate. But also with every other relationship that I was beginning to reconnect with, I realized this person has changed a lot, and therefore if we're going to reconnect, it means that we're going to be starting on a fresh page. I can't make reference to what we were before this whole missing in action season of mine. Another way, I think, is just to validate your own needs and also avoid the temptation to want to micromanage other people's desires, you know. Like, no, that's not a valid need, you know. You need a bigger need or you need a bigger desire. I think in terms of ambition, I was like that a little bit. When I was getting into my late 20s, it just felt like I had a drive to like conquer the world. So when I met people who were not trying to conquer the world, it just felt like, what are you doing? Why are you wasting your life like that? Like, you know, you should be conquering the world because you can conquer the world. And, you know, at a certain point, I think I have actually mentioned this in one or two of my podcast episodes. I've said, you know, there's just a time when I really started thinking, do I really want all this ambition or do I just want money? And the truth of the matter is, I don't even want, I, 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 not necessarily want the things that I aspired to. I aspired to those things because I thought they would come with the resources that I need then to actually live the life that I desire, which is, you know, I want more flexibility. I want to be able to not work around the clock. You know what I mean? To work and add value. So paid based on the value that I provide and not based on the amount of hours that I am spending in an office. I want to be able to work from wherever. So even if I've traveled, I've gone to Morocco. I've been doing a lot of research on Morocco. I added it to my travel destination wish list. And, you know, if I'm in Morocco and maybe on certain mornings I can work, on certain evenings I can work, on certain afternoons when it's slow I can. So to be able to work from anywhere in the world and to enjoy what I really want to do, which is travel the world, really explore the world, I think that is, for me, that is something that I think is at the center of everything right now that I am doing, like the decisions that I'm making, the sacrifices that I'm making. In the long run, it is, this is what I want, this is what I want to get at the end of the day. So don't feel the need that everybody's needs must align with you. It's okay to have different needs. It's okay for people to want different things from you. That's another way of really just showing up and accommodating the people that you love, but also another way of, you know, accommodating you. It's just saying, this is what I want, you know. I think especially now that we have this feminist movement and, you know, women should aspire to more. And I don't have a problem with women aspiring to more, but only do that if really that is what you want, if that is what gives you meaning, if, you know, it brings wholeness to you, then you do that. If it is something else, go for whatever it is that is going to give you wholeness. Hold space for yourself and others, especially when they need it. So for me, what that looks like is if I'm having a bad day, I literally wake up and acknowledge that I'm having a bad day. And I ask myself, what do I need, you know, to get through this day? Sometimes I'm not even going to be looking at, okay, what do I need to, you know, quickly recover from, you know, this low mood or this bad mood, or, you know, it's just, what do I need to manage today? Is it a good playlist? I'm going to play something. Is it chocolate? I'm going to get, if it is cake, like I think maybe 3-4 days ago, I just told myself, you know what? I'm going to go into Meraki and just get myself a delicious slice of cake because that's what I need right now. And that's what I did. That's what I got. And when I ate that cake, I'm not going to lie, I felt better. I felt good. So, you know, also just a holding space for you to be vulnerable with yourself. Vulnerability with yourself allows you to be vulnerable with others. If you can't be vulnerable with yourself, how are you even going to be vulnerable with another person? Acknowledging what you're feeling, you know, processing what you're feeling. I always say, sit with those feelings. Feelings are not a bad thing. Feelings are indicators of what you need to be working on, of what is going on internally. Anger, bitterness, resentment, I know we have classified those as negative emotions, but they're indicators, they're good indicators. They tell you what you need to be doing, what you need to be working on. They tell you how your body is processing what is going on in your life. We store up a lot of trauma in our body. There's a book that I am currently listening to. I think I've listened maybe to like 2 hours already. It's a long book. It's about, I think, maybe 10 hours. So I've listened to the first 2 hours, and the title is The Body Keeps the Score. I hope I'm getting this right. So it just explains how our body stores up trauma and what we can do to release that trauma so that we experience our bodies better. You know, sometimes these illnesses that we experience, you know, are because of stored up trauma. So our body can't function properly because the systems are underweight. So You need to go through that. Sometimes you need to go backwards, like, I don't know, a decade long backward. So you take a decade long step back and say, you know, this happened to me and I don't think that I processed it properly. And therefore, it was stuck in my body. It's stuck in my body and it's showing up in different ways. It's showing up in the headaches. It's showing up in how I can't relate with people. It's showing up in how I can't trust people. It shows up differently. And you need to hold space for yourself and acknowledge this thing changed me, or this thing really traumatized me, or it caused me pain that my body could not process, or my mind could not process, or my heart could not process. And therefore, I'm stuck in that moment. And that's what I tell people. If you keep on replaying something, and I even say that to myself, you know, if I remember there's a time that a relationship that I really, really valued broke down. I think maybe I've mentioned it in a previous episode, and I just didn't know how to process, because it wasn't even an issue of, okay, there's an argument, that it just felt like it just got distorted. I don't know whether it was overnight or it was over a series of something. It just felt like it's just not there. I'm not experiencing that connection anymore. And I think initially my response was egoistic. I'm not going to lie. I was like, you know what? I'm going to get by just fine. And, you know, later on, I really realized, you know what? I think this relationship breaking down really has affected me, and I need to deal with that, because it's been months now and I can't help but continuously go back to, God, where did I go wrong? Did I do something wrong to this person? You know, what happened, and all that. And I told myself, that's not helping me. I need to be forward looking and start thinking, what is it that I need to do to be able to heal? And I sat down with a friend and I explained to them, and I told them that, you know, this is how it has affected me, and they held space for me. And I do that for other people. Sometimes people just want to vent, okay? They just want to vent. And so before, I'm a person who's very solution oriented, so that is something that I'm healing from, because majority of the times when somebody comes to me with an issue, my first response is, we need to find a solution, or we need to fix this. And sometimes people don't want to fix something there and then, or they already know how they're going to fix it. They just need a safe space where they can process their emotions before they actually move forward. I think also one of the hardest ways that I have had to show up for myself is acknowledging my toxic traits or my toxicity. I remember, I think maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, when we were giving our annual update with the girls, I just said, you know what, this year, I cannot believe just how toxic I am. Like the things that I have done, you know, the level of hurt that I have imposed on this one person. Like, I can't even believe some of the things that I have had to say to this person. I look back and I recount all these incidents, and they're just full of toxicity. Like, I need to start healing some of those things, you know. And lo and behold, yes, at least I was acknowledging. I think acknowledging anything really is the beginning of, it's like you have solved that problem halfway, honestly, if you can just acknowledge. So I go to that space, and I really started working towards, you know, healing some of the toxicity. I continuously tell people, you can't be toxic if there's no toxicity in you. So, and you can't stop being toxic to other people until you heal that source. That's the reason why these days I tell people, I don't have time to hate people, because it means I'll need to be invested in hating you. I need to wake up every day and think evil of you. I need to hurt you. I need to cook up resentment every day, fresh resentment, pour into that cup so that I remain hating you. And as a matter of fact, while I am so invested in hating you, when now you're moving on with your life, and me now I'm stuck cooking up resentment and bitterness for you. So I don't have time for that. That space I always make sure is empty these days. If I just feel resentment welling up, that is something that I need to address. It's urgent for me because of where I am coming from. But also, just don't feel the pressure to make lemonade. You know, there's this thing. I did listen to the whole Oprah and Viola Davis interview. But I did see some of the people's reaction. And, you know, one of the things that they critiques were saying is, why was Oprah so insistent that it was important for Viola Davis to go through all that hurt that she experienced for her to be who she is today. And I think in the interview, Viola Davis must have said something like she would have rather not gone through that pain and, you know, just lived a different life altogether. That's another thing. Most of the times we go through something and there's this pressure of you need to make lemonade, you need to make lemonade, you need to come out on top of it. I don't like praising suffering, you know, or, you know, prioritizing suffering or glamorizing suffering to say, you know, you can only come up on top, or you can only come up to be, you know, stellar and excellent after you have gone through hell and, you know, suffering. That is the only way. No, it is not the only way. It is the way that you have seen the people around you get to where they need. Listen, there are people out there, I'm not saying they have not suffered, but they have not been traumatized to the level that you are praying that you should be traumatized so that you can actually pull off in the top. I think in my previous episode, I did mention that, you know, December I went through something. And, you know, when you go through something, like for me, it becomes very difficult to process. And, you know, I just made the decision because, again, it's the pressure of I need to make lemonade. So how am I going to make this lemonade? You know, how am I going to come up? For me, I just packed the lemons, Shem. I just said, you know what, thank you very much for the lemons. We're going to put them in the fridge for whoever wants to make lemonade. What I'm going to do is squeeze up some orange juice. So, yeah, go out there and just create absolutely new experience. You don't need to build on the trauma. No. I think that is one thing that getting into this year that I have learned. And I learned it from a YouTube video. I don't even know what that lady's name is. I would have to look it up. But you don't need to make lemonade, guys. No, you can just pack the lemons and just encounter completely new experiences. What you should do when you have gone through something so traumatic is just endeavor to heal. Heal from it. Heal, learn, and move on. Craft new, completely new experiences for yourself, and that is it. You don't even need to make reference to the lemonade or to the lemons that you've been given. Pack that up, heal from it. And I think that is one thing that I've just told myself. Another thing is accept, please, and know that no is a love language. So I did mention earlier, I think, that I was doing a Changes That Heal, and, you know, when I was just talking about my part of the things, the facilitator actually said, Nalu, that sounds like boundary issues. So we're going to talk about boundaries in the course, but I just want to mention ahead of time that, like, from what you're saying, it sounds like there needs to be boundaries, strong boundaries that need to be said. And she gave me a book to read on boundaries. I feel like that is something that I have been working on. I think I have talked a lot about this with one of my close friends, Chipo. When I started working on boundaries, it's not easy. You know, sometimes, especially when you're not used to saying no, you feel like saying no is pushing people away. And I think that is something that I was very open about, that, you know, I felt like at some point when I couldn't say no, that if I do say no, that I'm going to lose out on experiencing people's love, or that when they said no to me, it simply meant that they didn't love me. So I associated no with a lack of love, which is not the case. No is actually a love language. It's somebody expressing love, because what happens, I was just saying, you know, the reason why I had to learn how to say no is because I realized my yeses were resulting in resentment and bitterness, because I felt like people were taking advantage of me, you know, taking advantage of my resources, taking advantage of my time, taking advantage of my kindness, of my accommodation. You know, I was saying that, you know, when I'm in your life and I'm doing life with you, if we're in a relationship together, you never have to worry. You never have to ask if I am for you. You will know from my actions, from how I show up for you, from how I treat you, from how I'm present for you, that I'm for you. But also sometimes, you know, when you live in a world where people just take and give nothing in return, you end up getting depleted. And I think that's what happened to me at some point, is that I ended up depleted because I was pouring more into other people's cups and there was nobody pouring back into me. So I was not intentional about pouring into my own cup. So no is a love language, and you don't even need to feel bad about saying no. Now I don't feel bad about saying no. I just say my no. And that is that. If you insist, I'm just like, you know, no, I can't make another way. Earlier this year, there's a friend of mine, actually, that I just had to, like, I sat down with her and I said, you know, this year, I want to be very clear that I'm not going to be your backup plan. So I'm no longer your last hope. Find somebody else. And you know, they laughed. Ah, no, you know, you're such a good friend. I said, yes, and I want to continue being a good friend, but I'm no longer gonna be your last hope, so find somebody else. And they called me at some point. They were like, no, I'm so desperate for my last hope. I'm like, why did I tell you about being your last hope? I said, I'm not your last hope anymore. You're either your own last hope or find somebody else. Me and you, no last hoping. Let's keep the friendship. Yeah. And that was that. So yes, and you know, in the beginning it was so difficult, you know, for me to say no. I felt like, okay, let me just see, is she gonna make another plan? Is she gonna... And lo and behold, she made another plan. She called me like, you know what, I made another plan. I was like, okay, there you go. So no last hoping for me. Also, one of the things that you should do to show up for yourself: don't internalize people's opinions. Like, listen, people will have different opinions, and like I said, we don't experience the world as it is, we experience the world as we are. So people are going to say things about you, not because they're true, but because that's how they just perceive, based on their experiences, the accumulation of their experience. And outside of you, even maybe somebody behaved a similar way or did something or whatever, and they're coming to project it on you. So for me, I don't internalize people's opinions anymore. I'm just like, oh, okay. And you know, when somebody is like saying, because sometimes people say things, you know, knowing very well that they're going to hate you. So I just accept, oh, okay. Is that what you want? Yes. Yeah, so blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, there's nothing else I can do other than respect your decision. So if that is what you want, then that is what you want. Yeah. I'm not internalizing anything. I think it's a lot of baggage, because then you have to spend so much time on processing that information. And again, sometimes it becomes traumatic, and you know, the trauma gets stored into your body, which is not good for you. So allow people's opinions to just come and pass, come and go, you know, like the winds, like the way that sometimes you allow thoughts to go by. You know, you think of something and you just, oh, okay, that's what I'm thinking. And you let it go and you focus on something else. Finally, allow yourself to be a student of life. Continue learning. You are going to evolve. The person that you were a decade ago, the person that you were 6 months ago, is not who you are. You know why? Because life happens. And as life happens, we change. And as we change, we need to learn new ways of dealing with who we have become. So allow yourself. The way I tell people, my evolution game is strong. So if you've not had access to me in the last maybe like 3, 4, 5 months, yes, it's possible that you find I've changed a lot of opinions. I've changed a lot of where I stand. I've changed a lot about the way that I view myself or I view the world. And I'm unapologetic about that. You know why? Because I'm allowed to change. I've allowed myself that luxury to have a different opinion over something, especially when new information has come to light. Like, listen, I'm not a stone. I'm not going to be cast in concrete. So yes, allow yourself to continuously learn, even just for other people's sake. You know, T.D. Jakes said something that was so enlightening for me when they were doing, I think, a series with his daughter, Sarah. I think it was like daddy issues or something. He said a very, very profound statement. And I don't know whether he said it at the time that my mother was still alive or she had already passed. But he said, you know, the father that I am today is not the father that I was when I found out that you were pregnant. Had I been the father that I am today, perhaps I would have even processed whatever it is that happened differently. So I have grown. I know I'm your father, but I have grown. As you have grown, I have grown. I have become a different person. And I think really that changed how I looked at growth, but also it changed the way that I look at elderly people. Because sometimes we think we're the only ones who are growing until we become the elderly people that are actually still growing. So allow yourself to be a student of life. Just learn, whether it's from the good or from the bad, just learn and be intentional about how you respond to it. And if you can't respond, like I said, you don't have to make the lemonade, honey. You can just pack away the lemon and go and squeeze yourself some orange juice. It's absolutely fine. So for today, this is where we're going to end. I look forward to sharing with you the next episode, which is going to be released next month. Today is the last day of February. I know I was supposed to release this episode last week, but you guys, life has been happening in 3D. Adulting has been sparrowing. I keep telling everybody, it's like my adulting is going through something and I'm suffering for it because I can't catch a break. I literally had to get leave this week, you know, just to have some downtime because my body was screaming for rest. So this is where we're going to end. Keep shining diamonds. Bisous, bisous.